Christ. That was beautiful. For our scripture reading today, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 17. If you'd like to turn there with me. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. As far as possible, let's kneel as we pray. Good morning, Father. You are Lord of all. You've made everything. You've made us. And we come to worship you as the Creator today on this anniversary of creation, the seventh day. And Lord, we pray that you will bless each one here. May each one feel your presence close beside them. We pray for those that should be here that are not, Lord. We ask that you'd be with them and bring them back here. We pray for the pastor as he speaks to us, that his words will encourage us and draw us close to you and lift us up. And we pray for the sick, we pray for the discouraged, we pray for the weak, that you'll give them strength and hope and courage, all of the things that they need, Lord. We pray for your angels to surround us today and keep us safe from Satan's temptations. May he be driven far away from this place, and may we only have thoughts of you. Lord, we love you. We know you're coming soon, and we want to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.
That was a blessing. That was a blessing. Thank you, Charlene and Kimberly, very much. When a little becomes much. I like to have the connect cards passed out now. The deacons, you have the connect cards somewhere back there? There they are, okay. Everyone gets a connect card, and we'll tell you what to do with them at the end of the service. The connect cards are a chance for you to let us know you're here. We appreciate that. And also a chance to make some decisions. So as they're passing out the connect card, I have to come up with a story to get this talk rolling. And I've been thinking and thinking. I can't come up with a story. So instead, I think I'll just use show and tell. Is that all right? I'll use show and tell. Here they are, yeah. This is show and tell. You know what these are?
Pipes.
What kind of pipes? Are these good copper pipes? They were, yeah. They're not very good now. There's holes in them. There's a hole there. There's a hole there. And there's a hole over here. There's holes all over the place. These pipes were leaking. You want me to tell you a story behind these pipes? I got to tell you a story behind these pipes. It's a little personal, I have to tell you, especially the first part of it, a little personal. I went to the restroom one day, and I heard water running. So I told our head deacon, I says, "Hey, there's water running somewhere." So he checked out. "No, there's no water running." Now, unfortunately, he's not here to defend himself, so that's what he gets for skipping. So I decide when I go in that little room, I thought the fan was blowing. Well, then later I heard that Colleen told him water was running. And no water's running. And somebody came outside out here in those little vents, and you could hear water running. I mean, it was running. And so they called a plumber. There wasn't any wet ground around here at all. You couldn't see any wet spots at all. And so they called a plumber, and the plumber and one of our elders crawled under our church and patched our pipe. Praise God. Now I don't hear the fan running anymore. Patched our pipe. Now, it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse. Now, I understand that when they crawled out from under the church, that they were pretty wet. There was lots of water down there. Lots of water down there. Matter of fact, our elder offered the plumber a baptismal robe. And he didn't accept the baptismal robe, and I figured, well, he probably was afraid that he was going to get baptized, I guess. But they were soaked. I guess they were really soaked. That's just one piece of the pipe. It's copper pipe, and it's going. And it goes from one end of the church to the other end, about 100 feet. About 100 feet. And we need your help. It's going to cost us about $1,000. It's going to cost us about $1,000. But that's not all. You know, the church board has been talking about different things that we need to do around here. There's a lot of things we need to do around here. Our parking lot is falling apart. The front parking lot, the back, it's falling apart. And matter of fact, we had a safety meeting here. Some of you came to it. A safety meeting on Sunday, a couple Sundays ago. And they pointed out the danger of parking lots going bad and how people trip, fall, hurt themselves. And we need to get it paved. And it's going to cost a lot. We need your help. It's going to cost just this parking lot. We're back here. It's going to cost somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000. We're going to put a sidewalk in so that when we pave it, we don't have to track oil into the fellowship hall. We need your help. Really do. I don't know what's happening, but let me share a few things with you, if I may. Take out that little envelope, will you, just for a moment in front of you? I just want you to see something. I want to show you a couple of things, and I'm not going to talk about this the whole sermon, just 98% of it. Okay, take out that little tithe envelope, and you notice there's three sections there, and I'm gonna show you them. But the first section basically says a tithe. I'm not even gonna hardly talk about tithe. I mean that's a no brainer, you know. It's not even ours. You know, it belongs to God. And I'm gonna assume that because you're all children of God and you love God, that you're paying a tithe. I'm just going to assume that because God says the tithe belongs to him. You know, we just give it back to him. There's no argument. There's no discussion. Tithe belongs to him. But then it goes next going down. It says the monthly church budget. And our budget for this church, believe it or not, is a little over $9,000. Now, Robin shared this a little bit with us. And I appreciate that, Robin. You didn't know what I was going to do it too. So you're getting it twice now. And they say a third time, you'll remember. So anyway, a little over $9,000. And that covers church expenses. That's your lights. The water bill is probably a little higher this month, you know. And our heat or air conditioning, whatever we use. Janitorial services. It takes care of everything, anything the church costs. It also covers evangelism, family assistance, office equipment, PA system, personal ministries, Road Valley Adventist Academy up here. We pay a pretty good subsidy to help our kids go to school, and I praise God that we were able to do that. Sabbath school, social committee. So our church budget covers all this. Our church budget covers all this. And as I go through a little bit of this, I don't have all the exact facts, but Holly's sitting right back there, and we'll call on him if we need help. Or you can call on me and tell me I made a mistake, Holly, if I give something wrong. But let me look at let me show you the next slide. Next slide, there's our monthly budget again, $9,100. Here's why we need your help. You know, in April, we only received $6,000 approximately. In April, we are short $3,000. This month in May, to date, we received $4,708, according to the bulletin, plus whatever you gave today. Of course, we haven't counted that yet. And by the way, I never count it. And I need to say something else as your pastor. It's really interesting. The conference informs us pastors that we're head of the church. And we can look at the treasurer's book and see who's giving and who's not. We have that privilege. I want to tell you, I have never, ever, and I never planned ever looking at church books. Because I want to be able to look you straight in the eye and talk to you honestly without me knowing whether you do or you don't. That's the way I am. The treasurer takes care of it. That's it. That's it. I just want the bottom figures, what's going on. And wow. So far, except for today's offering, we're short $4,000. And as Robin pointed out, we're short about $14,000 this year already just for church budget. And the thing that amazed me is I was looking at the figures from the financial report for board meeting, is a tithe from last year and the tithe this year pretty well has held stable. Pretty well held stable in this church. But this year, the tithe seems to be way down. And I'm not sure I understand that because we haven't lost any members. The economy is going up, they tell me. At least this is what, what's his name again? That's terrible. I can't think of his name. Who's the president of the United States? Don. His first name is Don. Anyway, he tells us the economy is going up. It's great. And I'm looking at our budget and I'm saying, are you sure? We need your help. Guys, we need your help. I'll show you another slide. Another slide. Okay, why is this freezing up on me? Don't do this to me. Here, can you change it? Just hit the button. See if you can change it. Or did it change? Okay, just shut the whole computer down and start over. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at, I think the next slide is just the, no, you have to turn, okay, now just start over and look back up. I need to shut this down too, excuse me. There we go. So we're going to look at the tithe envelope just for a moment, and there's three sections. The church, the conference, and the world. See if I can get it going again here. This really frustrates me. Just wait a minute. Leave it alone. There we go. There's the next slide. That's the one I wanted. And I want you to just take a look at this. Can you see it pretty clear? The tithe I put in red, I mean, like I said, that's not even a question, is it? But over here on the left-hand side, it points out that they recommend, it's not required, because it's free will offering. You give as the Lord blesses you. If the Lord's not blessing you, then you don't give. But it suggests that maybe 4 to 7% we should give to the church budget. And then it says that we should give 3% perhaps to the Oregon Conference youth support, and then they recommend 2% to the world budget. And so I put it on the tithe, you know, church budget, local church budget, 4 to 7%. And there's other items in there. You go down to item number 3 below church budget. There's other items in that that deal with the church also, and one is student aid. We can give more money to student aid. That's not part of the budget. The RVAA is what we give to the church. But student aid, and we have a lot of students we help, a lot of students. Matter of fact, I got to tell you a personal story. I hate to tell you a story because I know you think your pastor is perfect. But be honest with you. I got a letter from Holly one day, and I know he sent letters out to other people. I got a letter from Holly one day asking if I could just sacrifice a little more and put $100 in every month for student aid. And I looked at that letter. I never, ever had a treasurer write me a letter like that. Never. And I looked at that letter, and I said, what? I give the church budget. Another $100 for student aid? Why, Holly, if you understood, no, he didn't know. $100 for student aid? Now I got thinking about these kids. Man, they're worth it. They're worth it. So I started putting in $100 for student aid beyond my offering for church budget. You know what? I don't even miss it. It's just part of my expenses. I don't even miss it. It just blows me away. And Holly, I'm worried now. I'm worried because school's almost out. And I don't know what I'm going to do with that $100. Write another one. Okay. God just blesses us when we reach out and do a little more. Look at this. If you think this is crazy, look at this. I mean, that came up to about 22% if you go the high road on the subject. But look at this. I found this statement. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 527. The contributions required of the Hebrews for religious and charitable purposes amounted to fully one-fourth of their income. The Hebrews were required to pay up to one-fourth of their income. On condition of their obedience, God made them this promise. I will rebuke the devourer, that's the devil, for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. God promises to take care of the children of Israel if they gave 25% of their income. Excuse me. That blew me away. I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. And I got to reading, I read further, and it said, and I don't know how you put the two together, I haven't figured that out, But it said God required them to pay 10% tithe, another place, and pay another 10% for the poor. Another 10% for the poor. I'm saying, wow. Wow. Well, offering percentage is recommended. I already said 4-7, 3-2%, and that comes up to about 22% if you do all that. Here is a chart I saw. I thought I had to share it with you. Why many people are in debt? Because they take care of themselves first and give to God last. God's plan is to give to Him first, and then He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of me. So Malachi 3:8 says, "Will you rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings." And I looked at that text and I said to myself, wow. In my mind, I have to be honest with you, I thought robbing God was not paying tithe. But I looked at the text and it says, robbing God is not paying tithe and offerings. I think that's enough. Let's go to our little talk this morning. It's tied in a little bit. Let's take a look at it. When little becomes much. 1 Kings 17. So Scripture tells us that Ahab, king of Israel, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Wow. And there are wicked kings in Israel. And Ahab was the worst. He was the worst. So what does Elijah do? He goes to Ahab and he lets him know, because of his gross and many sinful practices, it's not going to rain for many years. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. I mean, there was no hesitation here. God knew Ahab's heart. And when Elijah tells Ahab, it's not going to rain for many years, God says, get out of here, Elijah. Get out of here fast. Leave here. Turn eastward and hide by the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. Run and go hide. Wow. And you will drink from the brook that I've ordered the ravens to feed you there. The ravens brought him meat and bread in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him again. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow, in that place to supply you with food. So he went off to Zarephath. And he go on, it says, and he came to the town gate, as Robin read, and a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and he asked, would you bring me a little water in the jar that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get the drink, he called, and bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a hen full in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord said. The jar of flour will not be used up. And the jar of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain to the land. Wow. Wow. She had nothing, but she gave everything, as the prophet said. Nothing. Nothing. So she went away and she did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman, and for her son. For the jar of flour was not used up. The jar of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Verse 12 says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, as surely as the Lord God lives, even though this widow lived in a heathen land, it's very interesting to me that she knew God. She didn't live in Israel. She lived in a heathen land, and she knew God. And she feared God. She respected God. And as you go on and look, God chose her to sustain the work over all the widows in Israel. What does that tell you? He bypassed all the widows. He bypassed the children of God and went to a heathen land and put his finger on a widow who trusted him. God did not bless the woman, though, until she first gave before taking care of herself and her son. Did you notice that? It's a spiritual lesson for me. This woman lived in poverty. She lived during a Great Depression. And God says, first give me your tithe and then your offerings, and I have blessings in store for you beyond your imagination. Do we have that kind of trust? Do I have that kind of trust? Give me first, and the blessings are going to be incredible. This woman acted on faith. She did not know Elijah. She did not know if what he said would really come to pass. I think she eyed Elijah really closely. Is this man really a prophet of God? Am I being foolish to trust him? Make me therefore a little cake first. Sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? Make me some cake first. What man could actually look at a starving child and a widow and make such a demand? She had to make a decision. She faced a command that required obedience, and in the end, it is obedience that saved her life. Nothing was required except simple obedience. She could not honestly say, I cannot do that. She could not say, I don't have the means, I don't know how. She could refuse and give her reason, but her request was within her ability to grant the request. She could wrestle with her fear. She could form her own opinion of the person who dare ask such a question. She could show shock at his request. She could comment on the conditions of the nation. Oh, she could gripe and complain about her misfortunes. These were her prerogatives. But she could not say that she did not have oil and flour. And God asked her, and God asked us to do what is possible for us to do. And that's all. That's all. Matthew 5, 25, 24 to 25. And then the man who received the one talent, "Master," he said, "I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I'm afraid, and I went out and hid the talent in the ground." Is God too hard? God expected far too much for us, does he? Does God reap where he doesn't sow? That is a smear upon God, if you don't mind me saying so, to think that way. And when we think that way, that's actually unbelief that's talking. God never asks a person to do what they're not capable of doing. Never. God may shake us, he may move us from outside our comfort zone, but he's just trying to show us that he knows that we can be and what we can do. He pushes us to the point. Faith. Think about that, faith. This woman had faith in what seemed as an impossible situation. Faith. God is looking for those who will trust him even when the mountains get high. The mustard seed, that little tiny seed, you can hardly see it. And the Bible says if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain. How's your faith? How's my faith? God's looking for those who will trust him even when the trials of life seem to get the best of us. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Wow. Faith walks where no sight is needed. The question today is, can we, you and I, trust God in giving back to him the tithe and the needed offerings that he's requesting? Can we? Now, I already warned the elders that this may be my last sermon. This is a subject that touches us where we don't like to be touched. But it's also the Word of God. What can I say? Christ does not make unreasonable claims upon us. Oh, sometimes we think so, but he doesn't. God simply asks us to use what we have. He asks us to give it to him and let him use it for his glory. Do we have the faith enough to know that when the stream dries up, God will take care of us? God will move us on. He will give us water when it's needed. Do we have enough to give him what he requests in tithe and offerings? Knowing that he will see to it to take care of all our needs will be supplied. That's his promise. He asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" "Throw it down, Moses." Turned into this serpent. My word. The next command I was just born, I could hardly handle. "Pick it up by the tail, Moses." You don't pick a snake up by the tail. That is about the most stupid. Pick it up by the tail, Moses. Pick it up by the tail and turn back to his rod. And that rod did all kinds of things for the children of Israel. That's what Moses had. He had a rod. Samson had a jawbone of an ass. He gave it to the Lord and it slew hundreds and thousands of Philistines. A small boy had a little lunch. A little lunch, and he gave it to Jesus. And thousands were fed, and 12 baskets were filled to overflow just from that little lunch. Do we trust Jesus? Do we? The widow gave her last meal to God, and she and her son were fed for the next 2 years. Wow. Peter gave Jesus a boat to preach and along the shore, and he got it back with overflowing a short time later. More fish than he ever handled. Boat couldn't even hold it up. Joseph gave Jesus his costly tomb. Guess what? He got it back again. Give God whatever he asks you. I can't tell you what he's asking you, but give God whatever he asks you, and I promise you, he'll give it back. He'll give it back. You will never be short end of a stick. Never. Never will you be the short end of a stick. So take those cards. I'm going to take mine. Take these cards. We'd like to know if you're here, whether you fill a card out. We'd love to know if you're here. So members and visitors, everybody, fill out a card. And then what you do, you leave it at the two doors, wherever you exit, or bring it to the fellowship hall. Give it to the elders, the deacons. They'll get them to me eventually. And fill out that front of the card. Let us know you're here. That's what's important. And then the connect card's on the back. I give you three questions. First question is, I choose Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. You know the problem with Christianity today? Many Christians accept Jesus as their Savior. But very few accept Him as their Lord. You accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Check that box off. Number two, I choose to walk by faith, though I cannot see the future. Oh, I know some of you are doing that already. But check it off. Reinforce that. I choose to walk by faith. You know, some of you are going through some trials and tribulations right now. I know that. And you're in our prayers constantly. But choose to walk in faith. God will not let you down. I promise you. And the third one is interesting. A little cake, only one talent. Is that all you have? God, help me to be faithful to you, no matter what the cost. God is not asking you to go beyond your means. God is asking you, He's asking me to be faithful. Be faithful. And there's a blank line there. And you can write in there anything you want. Maybe you'd like to write a note to Holly. Say, Holly, I'm giving you $1,000 to take care of that water line. I promise you, when we're faithful to God, God is faithful to us. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the story of this widow. Wow, the trust and the faith she had in you. May your Spirit fill us anew. And may we likewise have such faith and trust that we'll follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.